All right, folks, welcome to episode 9 of the Off-Center Archers. This week, we're going to be talking about some of the new stuff that we've been doing.
Hi, this is Stephanie.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Yeah, I'm Anthony. That's right. Hey, whoops.
Just throwing myself in there.
Fuck it up right from the get-go. This is great. This is when we don't edit shit so everyone can laugh, yeah. Like we mentioned in the last episode, we had new peep sights put on the bows, and we couldn't go back into the range because it became like just a cluster of like 20 people in a 3-lane range. Also with the new peep sights and the new kisser buttons and stuff that were added to the bows, Steph's anchor point got way, way better. And just a bunch of other random stuff that we were going through this week, so...
Yeah, we can start with the peep sights.
Yeah.
Because I totally messed that whole starting up. When we went to the range and I totally forgot that I completely...
Oh, that the new stuff was swapped out. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so last week what happened was the... we didn't have anyone to babysit. You know, it happens. Like, you know, all your parents out there know the feeling. Like, okay, he's not taking a nap. He's not cooperating. So couldn't really both go. So... Anthony went by himself, and he got to reset his peep sight and kind of tinker with his bow. And this week, and I know everyone out there with a kid, or two or three, or if you're insane, more than that, know the feeling, okay, well, you want to go shooting, but they need to take a nap. So you stick them in the stroller, and you walk around the store for about an hour, which is what I did.
Yes, while I was dropping off groceries.
Yep, so I walked around the store for about, you know, like an hour. Actually, two stores for now, an hour. Till he finally fell asleep. And then we snuck into the range. So we both got into the range this weekend.
Right.
And you already had your new peep sight settled in.
It still twists a little bit. I still have to toy with it, but it's not very bad. It's a very quick, you know, twist and I'm done. Yeah.
So I go and the first couple hours that I let go. I completely forgot that I switched it out. I mean, I had Space Cadet moment. I completely forgot.
No, a blonde have a Space Cadet moment? No fucking way.
My blonde's going away after we had our son.
No.
Not mentally, but appearance-wise.
Appearance-wise, yes, your hair has gotten darker since you had the baby.
So I have to say, when we first set this peep sight up, it was actually lined up pretty good.
Yeah. Size-wise and everything. Well, this time you paid more attention to the kisser button location on your face.
Yeah, and I also have to mention that in some of our other episodes that we did, we mentioned the whole thing of making sure that your peep sight is lined up with your sight. Your sight has to sit in your peep sight, so it's circle to circle, basically, is what it is.
Right.
And obviously, when you first set up your bow for the first time, you know, on a compound bow, and they're like, okay... Look through your peep sight, you see the sight. You're just like, yeah, sure, I see it. But you don't actually really pay attention until you start getting the shooting. Like, oh, okay, it's not really lined up. Well,
yeah, it's called being a noob and learning
time,
your way through.
Yeah, this time around when we first put the new peep sight on my bow, I was able to get it more accurate as far as where it's sitting. Now, folks, if you hear that thunder, we live in an apartment complex.
We're on the bottom floor.
Yeah, we're bottom floor. No school today. So those are herds of kids upstairs.
Our neighbor's kid is like 80 pounds soaking wet and walks like a 500-pound fat man.
Yeah. So if you hear that, that's exactly what's going on there. Where was I? Off track.
Back to the peep sight.
Since when you start setting up new additions to your bow and switching out bows and switching out whatever parts on it, you know how to set them a little bit more accurately from the starting point compared to where you originally were. So the sight wasn't that far off from my peep sight alignment.
No, it wasn't.
But I
it
still
was,
had to
it was off
because
you were lifting your anchor point higher in order to compensate for where your peep sight was.
So now my anchor point, where the kisser button sits, is actually I pulled it back now naturally more accurately than where I was to the beginning because we actually moved it to where it's now properly sitting.
It's now it sits dead in the corner of your mouth
in the same spot every time.
Right. But now, since your kiss button is actually in the corner of your mouth, whereas before it was sitting above your lip, So it was slightly off. Well, that also changed the height of your new peep sight.
And I did find that I was putting it in different spots every time. It wasn't in the exact spot every time. But I think I actually got it to now, with me not even thinking about it, I just, that was the spot I drew back.
Well, yeah, you build the muscle memory.
So with this new peep sight, it's basically while the string is still, it's still settling, we should say. Settling's
right. It's a floating peep sight. Yeah. Call it Cheerios, whatever you want to call it. It's a floating one.
So you basically have to pull on the D-loop a little bit to give tension in the string, and then you resettle it so it's actually lined up.
Yeah, you give it a little twist. This way they're basically in line with each other as you're pulling back.
Yeah. So if you make this the same swap that we did, don't forget to do that, because while it's still settling, it's not going to be lined up 100% accurate. Yeah, you could get like one shot where it's lined up, and then the other shot, it might be twisted a little bit. That's one thing to keep in mind if you switch out the sights.
It's just one extra step that you need to do just before your pullback.
Yeah, yeah. I had my moment, but I think every time we go to the range, I have my moment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I pointed it out real quick. You let off like 2 arrows, and I caught that you weren't resettling you weren't twisting the peep sight back to its correct spot with the D-loop, so.
Yeah, but with all of this, we're finding that we have to resight in my bow.
Well, your anchor point is now in the right spot. Everything was basically way too low because your anchor point was too high. So we had to shift your sight up way farther.
Yeah.
And also now that your peep sight isn't twisting because of the old pull tube style, your shots are now all to the left.
Yeah, that is very true. And we have to resight everything in.
Well, we got it pretty close. I mean, within like 20 minutes, we were only actually in the range this time physically for a half hour. And we'll get to the reason where Stephanie's going to go into a rant about that most likely.
Oh, please. Yeah.
But you were already in the white after a couple of adjustments.
Yeah. And I mean, you have to just remember that even the smallest of things that you change on your bow could really alter your shot. So if you're planning on going hunting, don't change. Like if you're going hunting, let's say the weekend coming up and it's the beginning of the week, don't go and change your, even if you think it's just minor, like change the peep sight. I'll use it as an example because we're talking about it. Change out the peep sight and then not go and readjust your bow and think you're going to go out there and... What are you shaking your head at?
Don't change anything before you're going to go hunt. Well, whatever your setup has been, unless something breaks, don't change it.
Unless it breaks and you're like,
yes, if it breaks, then you're screwed anyway. You have to start over.
And so, you know, just by seeing this, some things that you might not think of, which is exactly what I did, you don't think that it's going to be anything different to, you know, where you're sighted in, how, you know, anything on your bow. It'll affect it. So just don't do it. Just, unless it breaks, just leave it. That's what you're tuned in at. That's what's working. Unless you got to tune in for broadheads where you get the practice ones, don't change anything.
Yeah, pretty much. Leave it alone. If you have it set before hunting season and everything's firing right, leave it alone till after hunting season.
Leave it alone. Don't touch it.
We're not going hunting this year primarily because this year is going to be all focused on what we're doing here on the show, like all the new stuff for me, basically Steph and all the new, you know, the new products and shit we'll be testing out and whatnot. But this is the noob year. This is where you learn how to shoot pretty much. So
I still wanted to go.
I know you still want to go, but right now you're only truly, I'd say you're pretty much deadly lethal at 20 yards in.
I'm a woman. I'm lethal at any yards.
Only during that week of the month. And then you can get away with the murder.
Very true.
But as of right now, from 20 to 30 is where you don't have much time with shooting. So, but 10 yards, 20 yards, you know, you're fine there. So, and the kid upstairs is running around like a madman. But so yeah, the peep sight on Herbo, I mean, definitely changed the way she shoots. She's got
I do like it a lot better though.
Yeah, you said even yourself, you have a much clearer view of your sight itself.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have that tube breaking off
and slapping you in the face.
Yeah, I got one of those right to the face.
So.
And another thing that I had at the range, it got a little chilly out. I mean, we're going into fall. It's gonna start getting chilly. Now, if you plan on going hunting, and all you've been practicing with for whatever time of the year, let's say if you're outside and it's during the spring, summer, and you're shooting in a short sleeve shirt the whole time, once you get into late fall, early winter, like, I mean, depending on where you are and what state you're at, you're going to be getting into colder months once, hunting season opens. And then when it closes, it's usually getting into winter, depending on what state you're living in. It'll depend on what kind of temperatures you get. But, I mean, honestly, what? It could get, last year got into, like, the 30s. In November. No, 40s.
Yeah, yeah. 30s, 40s. 30s and 40s. So it was 30s in the morning.
Yeah. So let's just say you're getting out there at the, you know, the crack of dawn. Like, if you're starting to make your way out, you're going to want to get out there before the sun's
up, right before they're going to start to move. So let's just say it's going to be like 35.
3 a.m., 4 a.m., depending on how far out you're going to. It's going to be rather cold. So you're not going out there in a short sleeve shirt and just chilling in your tree stand or wherever you're doing. I'm going to be fine. I suggest, because I did this, I wore a long sleeve shirt, but it was the ones that actually fit farther down your hand. So it was right underneath. It's basically, if you look at your hand, you have your palm, and then you have your fingers that come out. It was basically, it covered the whole base of your hand, like the whole palm. And it had that thumb hole, so your thumb could be out of the shirt. This is great because when it's colder, covers up your hand more. You don't have to wear gloves a lot of time. But I found with my release and holding my bow that it does change some things. Not a lot, but if you don't realize that it's going to feel a little bit different, it'll take a couple shots to get used to it. But if you go out there right off the bat, it's cold, you put some extra layers on, you're not really thinking of it. You see a buck or whatever you're shooting in front of you. You go to pull it back. Guess what? You're not used to shooting with all those extra layers on, and you miss. So I actually found this out when we were shooting by having these just lower down on my hands. I'm not used to having anything else on my hands while we've been at the range.
Oh yeah.
So it threw me off a little bit, honestly. Like, I think the first round, I was kind of. It was kind of a little weirded out by them. Well, not weirded out. I can't even think of the word.
Threw you off a bit.
Yeah, it threw me off. Because I wasn't used to extra material being there. And it's not a big thing. And some of you are probably like, she's just dumb. I don't know what her deal is. But for some, it's like, some people are going to be in the same boat as me.
You just have to learn to take into account everything you're doing and everything you're wearing.
You got to kind of put in every single factor that you might run into so that if it happens, then it's not a big deal. It's not something that, it's something that you're always prepared for, you know, plus the extra layers. It's not just one shirt. You might be wearing a jacket. We might have a bad winter, or you might be in Montana somewhere where it gets, you know,
Dakota
to 20,
like negative 50.
Fargo.
Yeah.
Was in the negatives all last year.
Yeah.
But, you might end up having to wear all these extra layers and the jacket and the face mask and the, you know, a set of gloves and the, you know, your fingers might be frostbit. If you're like me, you get cold in 50 degree weather.
Yeah, that is very true. Yes.
You know, not everyone is going to be okay.
You wear sweatshirts sometimes when it's 70.
Yes, I know. But you gotta think about these things too before you're going out. They're all part of the preparing. So it's good to practice with all this extra stuff on. Gives you an idea of where you are as far as the unexpected. You're fairly quiet today.
No, I'm just thinking. A lot of the stuff with the clothing can take a toll on like your hunting. No, I'm not even, just what you said is right. I mean, just keep in mind on what's in your hands because it could affect your hand position on the bow and everything like that. And I'm just thinking about, like, some of the stupid mistakes I've seen people do. is like they get their brand new hunting jacket. One, they don't ever wear it till the day they go hunting.
Yeah.
So the damn thing's not broken in. So if they move, you just hear swoosh.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that deer's like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, but didn't we see the we were walking around the store and we saw they had all the hunting gear out, yes, and everything. And then you walk by and it's with all the camo, it's with all the hunting, and it's made for hunting. But when you felt it, it was the same material as the running track suits where you're just walking by, it's like shh, 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 shh.
That's what you'd hear. You'd like lift your arm up and this deer would be like, bitch, I'm out.
Like yeah, it's not even quiet in any kind of sense whatsoever. I mean, you're not sneaking through anything.
No, you're not. it's so true. I mean, it's like, well, let's see, what's the other the dumb thing I've ever seen? Like when people buy their any sort of jacket, hunting jacket, whatever, it doesn't matter what you have, what kind of jacket you have, everyone has one of these stupid things in their jackets. The zippers have the ropes that hang from them.
Oh yeah, the little pull ropes.
Yeah, the dumbass who doesn't cut the rope off the left zipper who's right-handed, and as he releases the arrow, the little cord on the zipper catches the string and yokes that arrow to the right. You know, and then you look down, the dude's pocket's halfway ripped open because his 70-pound pull almost ripped that left side of that jacket chest clean off.
Goddamn.
And you're just looking at him in the tree, and you're just like, what's up, Puffy? And all you see is cotton hanging out of his jacket.
Well, as if you have one of those puffy jackets, which I absolutely hate.
No, not even that. Like, any of them. Like, you just see, like, lining hanging out because the zipper went flying with the arrow.
Yeah, I know. That's one of those moments that if you caught it on video or if your friend did, it's going on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. You don't care if you're making your friend look stupid. This is going up, you know.
Well, that's what friends are for.
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
But, yeah. Practice with anything you're planning on doing is good.
Yeah, practice with anything you're doing, and like, especially when you're buying hunting clothing, and like, we have all of ours right now, just because we buy everything ahead of time. Like, yep, we have next year's clothes right now. So, like, I'll bet money on it before we even, like, were to go in the woods with these things, we're probably going to be worn them a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And most likely, they're going to be washed, like, 10 times.
Yeah.
To get them all, like, soft and nice and quiet, whatever.
During the winter, I'll be probably breaking those things out, too.
Right. You know.
So warm.
Yeah, exactly. Everything of ours will be, you know, ready to go. It's not going to be, like, brand new, shiny,
And the company we buy it through, which I'm not going to say anything right now about them, is very good. They have some quality stuff.
Yeah.
Well. But we're not sponsored through them, so they're not making it on here.
No.
So
everything we'll is out of our pocket. We ain't sponsored by nobody.
Yeah. But they're very good. So, I mean, take that into consideration too. You want to buy quality, you know, I always talk about getting a deal, which you can get sales. I mean, you know, places run sales. You can wait for them. You don't have to buy them the minute they hit the shelves. Especially if you buy them in off season. If you buy a lot of hunting gear off season, everything is clearance. Everything is clearance because there's no need for it.
That's like us, man. I can't wait till like the end, like beginning of December when bow season technically, you know, even though granted New York's hunting season is all
the way to the spring, December.
So you can use your bow, whatever, but it's not specific to bows. So once it becomes unspecific to bows, like every store in this whole entire area we live in, they're like, oh, bow season's over. Technically, it's not. It's still hunting season. I could use whatever I want. They just open it to rifles.
But the main part of
The main part where it's only bows.
Everything goes on clearance.
Everything's on clearance.
Yeah. Everything. So if you buy a lot of stuff, you know, that $150 jacket is now on clearance.
$49.99.
Yeah, you know, so keep a lookout in like May and June. Take a look at places' websites because guess what? That's going to be dirt cheap. That's going to be the cheapest they're going
to
be.
Well, that's the best way to do it too. I mean, not for nothing too. We, you know, if you're the type, if you're the type of people like we are, I mean, my weight hasn't changed since I'm like 28 years old.
No, mine hasn't. Mine hasn't changed since I was in high school, honestly.
Right. So we're pretty much the same size. So for us to buy clothes for next year, we know we're fine. So if you're in the same type of situation, unless you're one of those...
Lay off the donuts and Twinkies.
No, well, not even that. That wasn't going to be my point.
That's my point.
Yeah, that's your point. Unless you're that person that's like, oh, this isn't the new camo pattern for this year. What's a nice way to say it?
The animal you're shooting at doesn't care.
Not even that. I was going to say something that could be very harsh and taken the wrong way, so I'm not going to bother.
Please, you stop being a little bitch.
No. I just, it's true. I mean, it's like, oh, the camo pattern. Okay. It's camo, bro. You look like a tree.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, they have different patterns depending on what you're actually hunting, but...
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
But they do the new prints for the new seasons. They just... I know Realtree comes out with different variations of prints, yeah. Which depending on what brush you're in, that's not what we're saying, but sometimes some companies, they do the same print for the same terrain, but a little bit different for the next season. And they basically, last season gets marked down because it was the old print, mm-hmm. and that new one gets jacked up because it's the newer one.
Right.
So... I wouldn't really go with the trend.
The best situation, if you know, like, you're going to set your tree stand somewhere, or, you know, this is the general area where you're going to do some spot and stalk, go take a camera with you. Take your phone with you. Well, take pictures of the background.
You want to scout the area before
Not even that. Like, when it comes to your camouflage, scout the area, take some pictures, and just, when you're in your Gander, your Cabela's, your Bass Pro, whatever, you know, fancies you, take the photos out. You know, granted, do yourself a favor, dull the photo down a bit, because camo's never like that bright, super, you know, vibrant as a photo would come out. Plus, most cameras and phones now overexpose living shit out of the background.
No, but you're getting into fall now, so all the colors are going to be dulled now.
No, I know that, but like, even if our camouflage has a lot of green on it. It does. Ours right now would work perfectly in the very... And right now, October.
Ours is early season camo.
Right. Ours is basically rigged up for bow season.
Early season camo. Right.
But ours would work for the situation, is what I'm saying. It like matches the background of wherever. Like if we were to go right now hiking through the woods, like 15 minutes from here, mm-hmm. we'd be able to sit next to a tree and an animal would probably like walk right by us. Granted, they'd probably smell us because, you know, you're going into the woods smelling like deodorant.
Well, that's why you do other things.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying. But, like, they visibly may not see you. You can just sit there and just be still, and they'll be like, oh, look at the lump of grass, and keep on walking.
Yeah.
You know. So.
You're giving it a lot more credit, but.
They're not that dumb.
I'm saying. I don't think they'd walk right by it like that. But.
Well, yeah. They'd smell you beforehand. Hiding. Unless the wind's in your face, and then they have no idea that you're there.
Yeah, very true. And
always hunt with the wind. The wind is your friend.
Yeah, go with it.
Yeah, yeah. No, go against it.
No, against it.
You want the wind at your face. Because then they can't smell you. If the wind's at your back, you're screwed.
Yeah.
So that's always a good tip. Hunt with the wind.
Yeah. And have lots of pockets for all the trigger releases that you're going to have to carry.
I ain't carrying that many.
Well, between swapping out from your regular release and then your other release, it'll depend on...
I switched this week to my four-finger true fire release. I was having issues with my caliper. It may just be the fact of how old the damn thing is now.
Wait, which one?
My wrist strap one.
Oh, the thing's like decades old.
It's old. I mean, that true fire release has been through its paces since...
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if true 20s? Fire contacted you to put it in like their little museum of inventions.
Yeah. Oh, shit. That strap is real leather. No.
It's a vintage.
It's old. Yeah, yeah. It's before they went to the actual like Broadhead logo on the end of the strap.
They started in their garage before they were a big company, that's one of the first ones they made.
No, it's not that damn old. It's old, but I don't think it's that old.
No.
But it has. It's been giving me issues. It's been getting very loud lately, so it might be time for me to buy myself a new one. But I had my four finger true fire release, and I switched to that, and I was like, yeah, maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's me, maybe it's the release. Let me see. So I switched to my four finger, which is normally when I switch back and forth, it's to do the whole, you know, be an honest archer thing and to know that I'm competent with multiple trigger releases. And when I realized I was having trouble with the wrist strap, and I wanted to make sure it wasn't me that was causing the problem, because I know lately at work we've had a lot of heavy work, and I know my left shoulder takes a beating when I do suspension work on rigs and stuff like that. So I switched to my four finger, and I was virtually almost snapping arrows. If my arrows weren't aluminum, you know, FMJ with the aluminum jackets, I would have probably broken arrows.
Yeah.
So, but granted, those arrows are pretty tough. I think I already did. I put the picture on Facebook of the three arrows twisted together.
You did.
So that
we
was
fun. We gotta switch mine out to that because pulling mine out of the blocks are.
Yeah. We're gonna order you a set of 400s.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna look up a set and actually probably do it next weekend since I worked all the overtime last week. Mm-hmm. I'll order those. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely my wrist strap release was definitely having issues. And I even noticed it, like, when I open it and close it manually without holding the bow, only one jaw now seems to be moving instead of both jaws opening. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be time for me to retire that thing and hang it on the wall with the Browning.
Or with all the other stuff that we bought.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, when we have more stuff coming this week, yeah, yeah.
Jesus. Yeah.
I forgot about that, yeah. We do. We have three more things coming this week. Like I said, I've been having some issues with my left shoulder, but it's also because of work, and I just want to make sure my high-tech stabilizer is not too heavy, so I have another of the TrueGlow, what the hell is it called, the Carbon TrueTech or whatever, the same one that you have on your bow that used to be on my bow.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I have another one of those coming. I have I have another one of your arrow rests coming, the updraft. The TrueGlow updraft is coming. And the reason that is coming is because even though I'm really accurate with the G5 C-Max arrow rest, it's insanely fucking loud.
Yeah.
Like, insanely loud.
Yeah.
Like, actually, I put the video on did I put it on Facebook? I know I put it on Instagram. Of, you know, the video on top with my, where I'm like, please don't sneeze and shoot your phone.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Did I put that on Facebook? I know it's on Instagram.
Yeah, you did. It's right here.
Okay, right. So it is on Facebook.
Yeah.
All right. Now, when you hear the video, if you raise your volume really loud, you'll actually hear three clicks. You hear a really, really faint click and a really loud one almost immediately after each other. And that is my trigger release opening. And then the second loud click is the arrow rest dropping out of the way. That's how loud that damn thing is.
Yeah.
And your bow is completely silent.
I have to say, I do like mine that's on there.
So, but I got that. I got another one of those coming. That one, same seller, man. I mean, all the TrueGlow shit I get from the same guy, that Sportsman Superstore or whatever the hell I said it was.
And he ships out pretty quick, and
it'll all be here Tuesday. The two things I bought from him will be here Tuesday this week, and I ordered them Thursday.
His stuff, it's exactly what it shows in the picture.
Right, and there's a link to him also on our Facebook page. So I have the two things coming from him, the stabilizer and the arrow rest, just because I want to try yours on my bow. We know it works with your bow at 50 pounds, so we're going to see how it does with mine at 70 or just above.
Right.
And also, since you did say you like the single pin, I'm going to try it and stuff, but I have a Trophy Ridge 5-pin peak sight coming.
Really? Oh, wait, that's the one you told me about.
That I showed you about. It's the 5-pin, mm-hmm. but they're vertical stacked pins. Right. So all you literally do is turn an Allen key and they raise up and down. So it eliminates the whole, all right, I see all the pins on my left side. You know, you see, you have to look through them.
Yeah.
So it goes back to how, like, your single pin was, but it's basically almost kind of how people claim is, like, when you have vertical pins, it's the best of both worlds. It looks like a single pin, but it's actually a multi-pin.
Mm-hmm.
So all your entire blocked view is this narrow, narrow pin in the center, but it's actually 5 pins front to back. So I have that coming. And between all the stuff that we got from eBay, I figured it out the other day. I mean, like, the stabilizer for the 8-inch one retails for $40 in the stores. I paid $15 shipped for it. Brand new. So these are all brand new in the box. Oh, excuse me. The arrow rest, I paid $25 shipped for.
Yeah, and I think it was like $24.99,
so 25.
Yeah.
That's a retail of $70. And the site actually retails for $100, and I got it for $32 shipped.
Yeah, so you have some good deals. So, this guy has some good deals.
No, no, the site was from a different person.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The site was just one that I happened to find. But, you know, I paid the guy, the main guy, like I said, I think his name is Sportsman Superstore. Mm-hmm. It was $40 for him for $110 worth of stuff. So, I mean, you can't beat the deals. As long as you can win the auction, you're good. But the stabilizer, he had 5 in the lump when I was bidding. The arrow rest, he had like 5 or 6 of those up, while, you know, when I was bidding, looking at one. So it's like you have multiple chances to win these things for like super, super cheap. And you keep everything very cost effective, very, you know, cost friendly for your setup.
Yeah, so you're not spending all this extra money on right. something that you don't know if you're going to 100% like or not.
Right. So like this week before, if we go to the range this weekend, what I'll probably do is get like a close-up video of my bow.
We can do your phone at one end and then my phone at the other end, and we can actually put the videos together. So you're seeing the same arrow from both sides.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. We could do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say also the sound difference between your arrow rest or the updraft once I put it on mine.
Yeah, we can do yours, and then we can do mine. Well, we could do your G5 that's on there now.
Right.
Then we can swap it out, and we can show the difference.
Right, this way you can hear the audible difference. I mean, even mm-hmm. with the self starting button, where the arrow rest will actually hold your arrow in place.
Right.
When you watch it in the video, when you watch me put the arrow in, I pushed the button and you could hear that I loaded the arrow in.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just hear a loud clink, and that's the arrow arm, the rest arm coming up. So it's absurdly loud. And it's brand new. Like when I put it on, a month and a half ago?
Yeah.
And it's just dominatingly loud. It's unreal.
I like mine.
Yeah, I know you like yours, and you're very accurate with yours.
Yeah, but, I mean, we didn't really get too much time this weekend.
No, we only had, like I said, 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
No, because, and I'll tell you why. After spending about the good hour walking around to try and get our son to nap, which he finally did, snoring and all, he was out like a light, and we're in the range, and look who comes in to try out a crossbow.
That's not sighted in.
That's not sighted in.
Way off to begin with. He shot the floor at 20 yards.
And you know, I don't really knock someone for coming in there testing it. It's public range. It's not like it's our personal one. But man, these crossbows are really getting on my last nerve. He brought that thing in the first shot out. Son was awake. That thing is so obnoxiously loud. Like, beyond obnoxiously loud. And then,
I think 22 rifles are actually quieter than Barnett crossbows.
And I have to say, and, you know, I wasn't mad at him. I didn't, you know, give him any shit. But he, you know, our son wakes up. I'm like, okay, well, that's game over for me. I let Anthony shoot another round. But he turns and looks at us and says, oh...
Did I wake him up?
Did I wake him up? What do you think? Like, are you even here right now? I mean, that crossbow is so insanely loud. I mean, you know, and all of his limbs were working, so I don't know why he couldn't just pull back a bow, because we all know my feelings on that one.
Stephanie and me are kind of like firm believers in the old New York state law, where crossbows were meant for those who couldn't.
They had a handicap.
Couldn't pull. Yes, they were handicap specific only.
But then again, who was the archer who, I guess, he had like shoulder surgery or something happened.
A lot of them.
And
Dudley shot with his mouth.
That's what I'm saying. He pulled back a bow with his mouth and shot it that way.
Yep.
He didn't use a crossbow.
And he killed a shit ton of turkeys with it. He's got
the video we saw of him doing that was shooting turkeys.
Yeah, he switched to his opposite eye and everything. So, because he's right-handed, so in order for him to shoot with his mouth, because he couldn't use his left arm at all, he had to switch to a left-handed bow, hold the bow with his right arm, pull with the left side of his mouth, and use his left eye to aim. So he had to switch up completely from his norm and taught himself... how to hit the targets. I mean,
yeah.
killed numerous turkeys like that. Actually, I think in one of the videos he killed an elk. I believe.
I didn't see that one. All I saw were the turkeys. But pure example right there that someone who didn't have both his arms for a shorter period of time was able to still shoot a bow. So that's what I feel about crossbows. Honestly. But I don't know.
I don't like crossbows. I never have. Like the whole thing with the crossbows and the air bow. And I'm sorry, in my mind, no matter what, it's really not archery.
It's cheating.
No, I know it's some a different people are form. I think they should fall into gun it's classification.
It's a different form of it. It's a different... But, you know, I know there's people out there that are totally disagreeing with us and saying we don't know what you're talking about. And there's some people like, yeah, I agree. So, I mean, either way, that's our stance on it. That's our opinion. And if you don't care, then more power to you.
Yeah, everyone has their own opinion on it. I mean, some people are like, oh, I switched to crossbows because I couldn't deal with, you know, shooting a bow and I couldn't get it down. Well, how long did you shoot for? Well, I shot for a month. Did anyone show you the proper way? No, so I just gave up.
Yeah, that's
then why don't you do the right thing and find someone who knows what they're doing or someone who has general experience. Yeah. You know, they can teach you, like, give you the right pointers. Hell, the guy who sets your bow up can give you some of the best pointers if you just listen.
Yeah, or if you want to see some ways of not doing things, we can do what we were doing
yesterday. Yes.
So... yesterday, and if you own a computer and you have internet
or you have a smart TV or whatever
and you've heard of that channel called YouTube,
the site, not the channel,
the site called YouTube, then you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that we fell into a YouTube wormhole last night. We were trying to basically...
It started off as you were trying.
I was... Okay, yeah. Let me fix
we were trying
that.
To find some topics. Actually, I she wanted was trying to find some topics.
I had this great idea in my head. I saw one video, and it was of, like, archery fails and all the stupid things that people do. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, man, let me get a bunch of these videos that we could share with everyone. Because sometimes you have to do some digging. So I go on and I get up one video, and then it turns out that, oh, and I saw, you know, they do these little, like, recommendations or whatever, ads, or, so you're like, oh, man, look at this. I click on the next video, and then it queued in another video after that, so then I watched that, and then I saw another ad for another one, and then I hit that, and like an hour later, we're sitting here, because I pulled my husband in with, you know, my little wormhole adventures.
Yes, yes, yes.
And me and Anthony are sitting watching the, what, top 20 worst toys ever made?
Oh, it was a bunch of them. It went from, it actually started with, like, the top 20 worst water park rides in the country. And here we are in New York, and, like, 10 of the top 20 were Action Park, which both me and you went to when we were younger.
We grew up on
we went to
rides.
This park that was, how many people died on this ride? It's like, shit, I was on that ride.
And then, you know, the top 20 worst toys ever made.
Yeah, that was.
And we owned like half of them.
The Gilbert chemistry set where people can make homegrown bombs. And I was like, I own that.
Yeah. So this is what I get. And I know people can relate of sitting trying to just look for one video and you just get sucked in this YouTube wormhole. It just pulls you in. And like hours later, you're like, what the hell am I looking at now?
Yes.
You go from what you were going to look for to something completely off topic. That has nothing to do with anything that you would probably ever look for, ever.
No, well, if we were stuck on the water rods for like an hour.
Yeah.
You know,
water
you don't like small, tight spaces. And here I am watching the video and our son's watching it. He's all excited. Like, look at these colors in these tubes and like jumping around all happy and stuff watching the video.
You guys will be going
and
on those.
And she's like, I ain't going on those. I'm like, I have no problem going on them. I'll take them on them.
Have fun. But we did eventually get to some videos. We did actually find a couple ones. So, one, I don't know how to describe the one with the derailment.
Oh, yes, yes. We watched one. Basically, it shows the issue of torquing the bow at full draw. Granted, the guy was not using a trigger release. He was pulling back with his hand.
Okay, so wait. I can explain it in the dumber version. So that'll really, I guess, paint a picture of this. So you get this kid. It had to have been a kid. Not like a minor kid. He was
actually a bow tech.
He looked like he was maybe like 19, 20. Kid. That's what I refer to. So
okay. Just made yourself sound old.
Whatever. So he's pulling back this compound, and I know they're over exaggerating to show you, but he's pulling it back without a release, and his hand is like gripping the string of the bow.
The white knuckle death
grip. Yeah, but on the string. And as he's pulling it back, he like completely 90 degrees.
His hand
to, I guess, to show. But like beyond ridiculous. Like if you're doing this, then maybe archery is not for you. Because this is just beyond ridiculous if you're doing this.
No, that's just one of those people that needs help.
You need a lot more help.
I shot a compound for a long time in high school.
90 degree it?
No, that's you need instruction.
Oh my gosh. So it was like basically like if you're opening up a water bottle and you're the cap, like you twist your hand around to get the cap. That's what it looked like.
Okay. They just fucking lost me. The cap on the water bottle. You got to twist your hand under a twist top cap. See, this is it. Oh,
that's what I said. I had to describe it a dumb way.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no. He actually he pulls the string back, and as he goes to let the bow back in, he literally turns his fist from vertical to horizontal.
Yeah, like you're unscrewing a cap.
Okay, sure. If that fucking works for you, whatever works for you, babe. So, but he does. He turns his hand completely horizontal and starts to let the bow in. Well, it throws the cable right off the cam, and it whips this kid so hard that you can perfectly see the cable end loop where it attaches to the cam imprinted on his arm.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
So, but it, like I said, it was purposely, it's a safety video where it shows you what to do, what not to, well, actually it doesn't really show you what to do. It shows you the shit you should not do.
Yeah, it just shows you what
it not to. It shows you don't death grip the bow itself with your left hand and wiggle it. It's a very bad idea.
Torque it.
Yeah, torque it. And do not turn your backhand, obviously. But it was quite funny, and you know, and then we got on the videos with the arrows through people's hands.
Oh my god. Wait. Because this is kind of like a shorter, goes back to what woke our son up. So the arrow through the foot.
Oh yes, that's actually what started her looking up the bow accident. I was on Archery Talk on Facebook and looking through all the photos and whatnot of, you know, people who, oh, I got a deer and
I got a foot.
Yeah. You know, you're looking through stuff, and the first thing I'm like, all right, you know, this guy got a nice size 6-point buck. Oh, I think there was some girl that got like an 8-pointer, which is, you know, badass, you know, good for her. And there was a bunch of dudes who shot a bunch of does, which I don't shoot does till the end of the season, and I don't think anyone should. And I'm sure as shit, there's someone going, oops, my dad messed up. And I'm just like, all right, gotta see the photos. And sure as shit, homeboy put a bolt through his boot. And it wasn't like through the toes. It was through the meat of his foot. He shot clean through where the doctors had to cut the boot off in pieces. And then the last photo, probably right before they're about to take this bolt out of his foot, is like a side angle shot of the foot with the bolt like halfway through it.
Ugh.
And I'm just like, look at this. See, this is one of them stupid comments. This is why I said, you know, even with the bows, don't walk around just because you have a full containment arrow rest with a broadhead sticking out. You're going to get, I know people who have screwed up. I know people who have gotten slashed and needed stitches in their legs.
Well, didn't he have the crossbow loaded?
The crossbow was loaded.
Walking through the woods?
And shot through his foot. Homeboy had to, first off, why are you walking around with the crossbow loaded? Secondly, why was your finger anywhere near the trigger?
Yeah, I know.
Who knows? Maybe he didn't even touch the trigger. That bow, that crossbow may have hit his leg hard enough where it dislodged the string and kapoof, you know, arrow through the foot.
Yeah.
You know.
And then the other ones that we saw were...
people who don't check their damn equipment.
I know. It's very confusing seeing some of these videos because they show... So, if you are right-handed, so you're holding the bow with your left hand, and you see that meat in between, you have your... Okay, so if you look at the side view of your hand, you have your thumb, and then you have that meat part in between your pointer finger and your thumb. So, it's kind of like you got that webbing, and then that, like, small
web.
Meat.
That's what it's called. Let's call it the web.
Well, you got the web, and then that little meaty down farther.
Yes,
that
yes, meaty yes, part. Yes.
Because it's not like toward the top. It's
yes,
more down.
I got you. Yes, yeah.
There was an arrow that was clean through that lower meaty part underneath the web of your hand.
Plus like 50 splinters.
Plus like splinters going out.
Of carbon fiber.
And I'm really trying to paint a picture in my head of how this possibly could have happened. You have your arrow at full draw. Well, you have your bow at full draw, your arrow... And you're holding your bow, and the way you hold your bow, like my web is like kind of, it's not facing flat toward the arrow. It's kind of like up a little bit. It's not, you know.
Right.
So you let go, and say if whatever happens, at the rate of speed that your arrow is getting released at, I don't understand how it can make it. Go that far down into that part of your hand and splinter.
It's a carbon fiber arrow. They splinter.
But for it to drop that quickly.
The arrow exploded as soon as they hit the trigger.
That arrow had to have been damaged.
They were damaged. That's what I'm saying. Is people need to learn to check their stuff weekly.
Ridiculous.
Before you shoot, after you shoot. Like, I'll blatantly say it. Like, I wax our strings. Depending on how much time we're at the range, it could be anywhere from a week to every 2 weeks. Where I'll take a rag, wipe the strings, you know, just remove as much shitty wax as possible, and add a fresh coat.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be like, I mean, if we're at the range for 2 hours, me and you shooting, I'll do it every single week. If we're at the range, you know, see, third item shipped. This dude's on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
If we're at the range like this week, we were there for a half hour. I'm not going to re-wax the string this week.
Yeah.
It's not worth my time. But I also check our arrows. You give them a little wiggle, you know, see if they twist. If you start hearing like a crackling noise, like you don't even have to twist hard. I mean, carbon fiber is pretty flexible as it is. I mean, you know, you just take it end to end, you know, give it a wiggle. If you start hearing like, you know, it doesn't have to be really hard. You just, you know.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, a little, you know, tweak it a little bit, you know, see if it twists. If it does any of that shit and you start hearing popping or cracking or keep an eye open, you know.
Throw that shit out.
You know, if there's no, you know, trying when you're in the room or wherever you're doing it, try to keep it quiet so you can hear. Just check your damn equipment because, I mean, these people are having arrow failures with carbon fiber arrows where literally they're pulling their trigger and the arrow's exploding and launching the portion of the arrow through their hands.
That is just bananas.
Yeah, like the one picture we saw, I mean, the arrow went into the guy's wrist and was like coming out of his pointer finger.
Yeah.
So.
I don't.
You know, and then the one guy, I mean, you seen the main portion of the shaft that was through the fatty portion, as you were calling it?
Yeah.
And then there was like 50 real thin carbon fiber splinters sticking out of his hand.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in general, people need to. It sounds like some redundant dumbass that you'd find at your job. Safety.
But, well, you know. We're right, though.
You know, that Granger commercial that I hate, that I have to hear every day at work.
Yeah, but the other one where they're shooting outside and the friend goes to pick up the target, and what does his friend do?
No, that dude shot another arrow. That dude was trying to be a wise ass dude, like, oh, I'm gonna fucking blow an arrow by his leg and scare him. No, you don't ever aim at somebody.
Ever.
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 You can't say ever enough on
no,
here.
You know, that's what he probably thought. It was in Russian, and you could just pick up you hear the giggling in the background, like, oh, I'm going to fucking scare him. He shot homeboy in the thigh.
No, he shot him in the knee.
Oh, in the knee. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was.
It's the knee.
Yeah, it like was the thigh
side of his
knee. Like
your kneecaps
right
there? Yes. Think about that. Oh,
yeah, he shot him, yeah.
Dig that out.
Just above his knee joint.
But there was those other pictures of people getting shot in the face.
You know, all I could think of was with that kid who got shot right there above the knee, I hope when he got out of the hospital, he broke that other kid's jaw. Because that would be me. If I would have got out of the hospital, I'm like, oh, what's up, John? Bah! Good night.
Why are you using your boss's name?
No. Oh, so you just gave some shit away. That's bad. See? See? No, I actually like my boss.
You know how many millions of people there are named
I have two of the most badass bosses you could ever have. Lies. We have our beginning of shift meetings. They tell everybody else what to do, and they just look at me like, you know what to do. We're not even telling you what to do. You control your side, whatever.
But, there was another, a girl that was shot in the back.
Yeah, yeah. That one I didn't really want to look too farther into it because the shot location, she took the arrow to the lung.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, skip this one. I'm like, nope.
The whole point.
And it was bad enough that it was her left lung, so I didn't even want to see the entry angle, if there was an exit angle, because everything that's major is on the left side of your body. Your heart's there, yeah. Your lung's there, and I'm...
Honestly, I think the whole point of this, and if you want to look it up, what are you typing in the search
bar? I just typed in archery accidents, arrow accidents.
The whole point
arrow explosions
this is maybe not, because hunting season's going on, you know, there's a lot of guys out there. Don't be a dumbass.
Yes. Just,
you know, it'll cut down on a lot of the accidents that are out there. And I don't want to sound too parenty-like to everyone. But, you know, just don't act like a dumbass. If you are questioning what you're doing, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
If it seems your first reaction is, I don't know if this sounds like a good idea, or I don't know if I should do it, then just don't do it. Like, if you have someone in front of you, don't aim that way.
Well, it's not, when it comes to, like, the safety-wise aspect, it's like I said, I'm not trying to, like, preach about anything. And granted, I have my procedure with our stuff personally. And I like to check our stuff all the time. You know, we're a mom and dad, so maybe I do it more than I should just because now we have a son. So I don't want either of us to lose an eye or whatever case you want to make. But... It's just...
You're going to poke your eye out.
Yeah, you're going to poke your eye out with that thing. It's just... People are just... They don't pay attention. It, you know... There's no other way. I mean, being an archer is one of the most primitive things you can really do. And I'm not talking about, like, the whole target aspect. Hunting with a bow in itself. I mean... Shit, bows have been around for 5,000 plus years. Yeah. You know, I'm sure some back in the day, somebody screwed up, was like, oh shit, that bush is moving. And they just launched an arrow into the tree and they like shot their buddy.
Yeah, that's happened.
Their buddy comes out of the bush screaming, and he's got an arrow in his left ass cheek and shit.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to be more aware. It's like the other stupid things that I see online. When it comes to like being safe, like you said, if you have an idea you shouldn't do it, maybe you shouldn't. You know, the guys on some of the forums, like, you know, look at their strings and they see a couple of torn strings. Is it still safe to use?
If you have to ask.
You have a fucking brain?
If you have to ask that question, then the answer is no.
Then maybe if I turn the poundage down 5 to 10 pounds, it'll last through the season. No. Or maybe you're just a fucking idiot.
If you have to ask, then just don't.
Exactly. That's what I mean. It's just like, the one dude I seen, you know, you could take like your round estimate of how many strings are inside the bundle for your bow. And even if it's 30, you could see by the amount of damage this guy had done that at least 5 to 6 of the threads were cut.
What guy? Which guy?
It was on one of the archery forums on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
And it was, is this safe to use for the rest of the season?
No.
No, that entire string is set up for your 70 pounds, let's say. So now you just lost 1/6 of its strength. 1/5, 1/6, whatever you want to say. So even if it's 1/5, you lost 20% of your string's potential, first off, for it to be like a solid one-piece thing. I'm sorry, but that's too much of a risk to me to even want to try and keep shooting it. Go get it restrung.
It's not worth it in the end. You could damage a whole mess load of other parts on your bow.
Your bow, yourself.
Snaps. Yeah, plus yourself. But I'm even taking that out of the picture. like, let's say you're, nothing happens to you, and, you know, right. just think of, comparing from you just having to restring your bow, what that cost is, compared to if you just keep shooting with a damaged string, and it mm-hmm. snaps, all the extra parts that it could damage on your bow that are now being added to the cost of what it originally would have cost in the first place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So just well, that's what I'm saying. I've seen, like, you know, you do, like, your random internet searches, and you'll find stuff where, like, oh, you know, guy asked if string was still safe to use for the season, and all the boneheads on the forum said, yep, keep going. You know, you're fine, you know, you still got 3/4 of the string or whatever left to go, keep shooting. And then you see, dude shoots deer. Dude gets 27 stitches in the face.
You know, those are the same guys on that forum that are saying this, that when you see their truck, half of it's being held together by duct tape.
Oh, shit.
So, you know.
Oh, shit.
But then how do you think all these videos are created of all these things that happen because of these people that say, no, just keep going with it.
That's your
friend that shouldn't really be talking too much. Yep.
You're fine. Keep going, bro. It's all good.
Just throw some duct tape on it. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just wrap your string with duct tape.
Wrap your string with duct tape.
And don't do that, please. I'm being a sarcastic ass right now. Next thing we know, we're going to see a picture pop up. There's going to be a
post about
tape.
It or something. Yeah, yeah.
Look, this was a great idea. Let me wrap it in duct tape. Duct tape fixes everything.
This guy called my father a dumbass because he shot himself with a crossbow.
Well.
You did.
Just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
and first off, if you take anything we say personally, guess what? You singled yourself out. Because you just basically said we think you're stupid. So
well, we don't really have too many listeners just yet, so.
No, I know. I bet that's fine, but, you know.
If we have enough of an audience to have people disagree with us, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good point of view. See? Yeah, you disagree with me, that's fine. See? I don't care.
We have more people listening. Yeah, feel free to subscribe, too.
Yeah, please do. You know.
On Podbean and... I don't know how iTunes works.
Podbean, iTunes, Outcast, whatever pulls from iTunes.
Stitcher.
Stitchers. Oh, yeah, actually. Oh, Stitcher. Yeah, I forgot to check Stitcher.
Yeah.
Make sure that's updating.
But, yeah, if you're curious about some of these pictures, I'm not going to... maybe I'll pick one or two of the pictures to post for shits and giggles. But if you want to see some more of the gorier ones, go on YouTube. Stay away from the wormhole.
You can't stay away from the wormhole.
Stick to your search bar and type in archery accidents, and you'll see all these things that we're talking about.
Stay away from the wormhole. It never happens. I'm just going to go watch one video. Meanwhile, and like 3 hours later, they find you in a corner scratching. More videos.
Meanwhile, you're getting, you know, you're watching like deadliest alligator attacks or like kangaroo attacks or something.
Those are funny. I'm sorry.
Those things are nasty. Kangaroos.
Have you seen some pictures of these kangaroos? Damn it, there was one. What the hell? There's this thing that happens to animals.
Wow.
A myotocin deficiency.
I think
it's called.
The one with the muscles.
Yeah. Where they become like this jacked out. Like they have this one kangaroo who like pummels everyone in Australia. This is like the fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger of kangaroos, and this thing likes going around beating people up.
I've seen one like knocking on a window.
Yeah. Yeah, but could you imagine one that, like, you look out the window and homeboy's flexing? He's just straight up like, come on, bitch, open the door. You know.
Anyway.
But he's gigantic. I mean, it's hysterical.
Stay away from the wormholes. We're going into a wormhole.
Yeah, exactly with this conversation. So, but to everyone that is out hunting, be safe, have fun, good luck.
Kill some shit.
Good luck, you know, obviously. Everyone, we want to see everyone's freezers nice and full. You know, like I said, I'm on archery talk all the time. Actually, I think I added Steph to it the other day.
Yeah, I'm on it.
So, congrats to everyone who's already caught some stuff. You know, wish everybody fill all your tags, fill your freezers. You know, we know a lot of you guys hunt for food for the family, so.
Fill your friend's freezer.
Yeah, and if you fill yours and, you know, help a brother out, fill your friend's freezer or, you know, some of you guys are like us. Do the charitable thing. Donate the food to a food shelter or, you know, donate the meat to a food shelter. This way they can feed people who need it, you know. But yeah.
Yeah, I think we're...
I'm good, yeah. So have fun with your YouTube wormhole, you know. Go looking up some archery accidents and stuff like that. And we'll keep rolling here. We'll have more stuff coming. Like I said, we got three more things. Technically, only two of them are going to be brand new on my aspect.
Mm-hmm.
We got the one new site coming. We got switching to your style, Arrow Rest, from the one I have. And then we'll keep letting everyone know what we find, what's out there, and
we'll keep it posted.
Keep everyone going.
All right. So this is Stephanie.
And I'm Anthony.
Bye. And
we'll see y'all next week.